Welcome to Family by Design, a weekly radio program brought to you by Wellspring Christian Family Schools, the education ministry of WCF Church, located in Sebillesville, Maryland. We hope that today, in some way, we will help you to treasure God's design for your family.
Because the greatest gift a father can give is a life lived for Jesus. And the greatest gift a mother can give is the knowledge of the Lord. Pass him on to your children. He's the gift that keeps on giving. The greatest gift is a life lived for Jesus.
Good afternoon and welcome to Family by Design. I'm Joel Fisher and so glad that you've joined us today. We're going to continue a message from Tim Shell, a missionary in China and Mongolia and also here on staff at Wellspring. He began this message talking about the geopolitical conditions that lead to Christian persecution. Now that's kind of a mouthful, but basically how do we go from a society in which there is freedom of religion and where Christians have been historically able to serve and worship freely without interference to a place, for instance, like communist China, where Christians are not able to do those sorts of things. So Tim's been comparing and contrasting Chinese and American culture, and he's going to pick that up here on part two of geopolitical conditions that lead to Christian persecution. Let's listen.
Man, they take a lot of risks to have a job, to survive. The level of risk that they take to get an opportunity to feed themselves and their family is very high, and they have a lot of lack of control of their circumstances. So their perspective on the value of human life is much different. They're utterly immoral and without conscience. I can tell you, I could stand here for 2 hours and tell you stories of these types of things. I'll just tell you one. Just so you get the idea. There was a man who worked in a hospital and he saw all the needles being discarded, so he took them home. He washed them, repacked them in sterile bags, and sold them back to the hospitals. He washed them at a faucet in his backyard, so they're totally unsterile. And the hospitals could not figure out why the infection rates were going up in the hospital. And they finally traced it back to this man. This man had made so much money doing this that when the police came to arrest him, he just paid them off. And they became part of the problem. And as it went up the ranks, he would pay the people off because he was making so much money recycling these needles and selling them back to the hospital's sterile needles. What's wrong with this man's mind? People are dying. He's not an anomaly. This is well-established Chinese cultural tradition. This is not something unusual about this man. And the corruption is a way of life, and bribery for everything at every point in society where you need to do something to get permission. And theft from the time you're a child is honored. They have TV shows where they have the police doing these cases where they solve the case, where the police are trying to figure out, who did this or whatever this crime. And I've seen Chinese people watching this TV show on their edge of their seats, just totally engaged because they want to see what was that man thinking that he outwitted so many people for so long to be able to pull off this crime. And they actually admire the man. And then they critique him on how they would do it different so they wouldn't get caught. Like, he was so stupid that he got caught, but I could do it in a way that I wouldn't get caught. So they're just feedbacking all this deceit back into the society, and people are learning from these criminals and from each other, and it's an unbelievable thing to witness. They also have, and this is a key part that you need to understand, the culture, because there is no Judeo-Christian values, which is what we call a truth-guilt culture. Our culture is a truth-guilt culture. We have truth and absolutes, the morality, the Ten Commandments, and you're either guilty or you're not. In a culture with no Judeo-Christian values, they have a shame-honor culture. And this is the only way that they are capable of controlling society. They train children from birth to be fearful of being put to shame. And there are many ways that this happens, but all of society coordinates and cooperates instinctively together to make sure that every child grows up fearing shame, fearful to death of being put to shame. And So whether or not something is right or wrong in a culture like that is based on whether or not you get caught and cause anybody shame. Whether it's not wrong until you've shamed yourself or shamed your family or lost your face. And so there are some people in society, though, that level of control being put to shame doesn't work. And they have a word for those people. They call them broken. They're huila. They say that person, like if my tractor's broken, we say it's huila, it's broken. If my faucet is broken, it's huila. But a person who cannot be controlled by shame in Chinese society, they all say, that guy's huila, look out for him. He's dangerous because nobody can predict what he'll do because we can't control him. Now they're developing what they call a social credit system in China. And this is the ultimate ability to control people through shame. Everybody has, from birth to death now in China, they have a social credit score. And you get points when you read the writings of Mao Zedong or Xi Jinping or obey the traffic laws or pay your taxes or don't borrow money and not pay it back. There's a whole list of things that people can do. With the social credit system, it's tied into their facial recognition system so that the government of China knows in real time who everybody is, where they are, and what their social credit score is. So if you have a good score, you get perks and benefits. You can ride on better seats in the plane. If you have a poor credit score, you can't ride on the train. You have to take the bus or whatever. There's all these ways that they're using this to put people to shame, basically. So if you jaywalk and walk across the street, you just lost a point on your social credit score. And this system is being used extensively in the country now. And this is the only way the government has to control the people is through shame and honor, because there's no Judeo-Christian values. So in America, we have voluntary obedience to the law. Even people that aren't Christians, when it's fall and the leaves are changing and I'm driving slow through Maryland or Pennsylvania because I want to see the leaves, people get behind me who want to go fast. And there's a double yellow line. And there's nobody coming for miles either direction because it's the countryside, it's the road. People get back there, they're mad. They won't drive around me because it's a double yellow line. In China, they would just look both ways and go, you know. But Americans have this conscience. I can't cross the double yellow line. And they voluntarily obey that. There's not a policeman within 100 miles. Not in China. In China, when we go to get a visa, we have to bring documents, birth certificates, marriage certificates, and they won't accept them. They say they're forged. Nobody in America forges documents. We don't do that. These are legitimate documents. No, you have to take them back to America and get them authenticated. You have to have stamps from the state and the county and the federal government and bring them back and prove to us that these... Why? Because they assume that everybody forges a document when they need a document. That's just the assumption. The voluntary paying of taxes. Our system of paying taxes here is voluntary. They can't imagine who would ever voluntarily pay their taxes. You know, the Bible says, for the transgression of a people, many are the rulers thereof. And so because there's so much lawlessness and so much transgression, you need more police. You need lots of police, and you need lots of police cameras everywhere. And so the culture there is filled, literally filled, with policemen. You can't go to shopping and not see a policeman. You can't go to town. It's just amazing as you drive around Pennsylvania or Maryland, where we live here, and you never see a police car. You never see a policeman, hardly ever. Over there, you can't step out your house and not see. And they have many different kinds of policemen for this and for that. They even have policemen that simply stroll the streets at night and walk around the cities. And they're just on the alert for somebody who might be committing a crime. And the people love it. They say, we feel so safe when those guys are out there patrolling. We know our kids can cross the street and go to grandma's and nobody's going to hurt them or catch them or whatever. The other thing is that they have this thing called face. And so what is face? Face is your lifelong investment in building the image of who you want people to perceive you as. So you spend your entire life investing in every way. It's your reputation, it's your name, it's your honor. It's your identity. It's who people identify you as. And so none of this is real. There's no reality in any of this. It's all false. You're putting on a perfect act that you are like a successful, honest, righteous, good, upstanding businessman. But in in the reality, you're cheating and conniving and bribing and stealing and doing all these corrupt, immoral things. So everyone's a perfect actor, and you can't trust what you see. And everybody knows this about everybody else. So everybody's putting on a face, but they're all trying to figure out what's the reality behind that guy's face, because they don't want to be tricked. They don't want to be deceived. Now, as I lived through this and watched this, I was always content in a measure, because that would just stay there in their country. I mean, if they want to cheat and lie and steal and hurt their own countrymen, so what? It's not coming over here to America, where I live. Well, then we had a pet food scandal, where there was pet food coming into America, and it was killing pets because it was coming from China, and it was poisonous. And then we had this situation in the construction world where people were building houses and putting up drywall, and it was falling off the walls because it had so much acid in it, it would eat the screws, and that was coming from China. And this lack of foundation and morality in the Chinese culture started creeping across the sea. I mean, if it was just killing their pets, so what? Well, now it's killing our pets. And we have to realize that China has a long-term plan to dominate the world. They have a 100-year plan. I mean, how many of you have a 100-year plan? Most people have a 5-year plan or a 10-year plan. They have a 100-year plan. And their plan is to dominate the world. They want they call themselves the Middle Kingdom. That's what, in Chinese, the name of China is Middle Kingdom. That's what it means. Zhongguo. Zhong is the symbol, the character for middle. And they're the middle of the world. And they see themselves as the country around which all the world should revolve. In the scriptures, we see a lot of talk about dragons in prophecy. There's dragons in Daniel, there's dragons in Revelation. I'm not going to speculate too far, except to say that it's very interesting that the world recognized symbol of China is the dragon, the red dragon. That Russia's represented by the bear, and China's represented by the dragon. They now have a facial recognition system called Dragonfly. It's an artificial intelligence, and it can identify every person in China within seconds, instantly, within seconds. 1.4 billion people, they know who everybody is walking the streets. There's an app on your phone over there that you can get. If you don't want to do business with somebody that doesn't pay their debts, you can turn on this app. It shows you the ID of every person around you and which ones pay their debts and which ones don't. And so you can know when you go shopping, who should I do business with? And this is all based on the Dragonfly AI. Countries around the world are lining up to buy this technology from China and install it in their countries all over the world. It's highly in demand, this system. They have a multifaceted approach to dominating the United States. It doesn't just involve the possibility of physical war, but through education, building their own societies at campuses and universities all around America, in the media, by buying out the media and making sure that the media only puts out positive information about China. And through money and bribes, they come into the political arena in America, and they control politicians through the money and the deals that they want to make. They are very much against freedom as we know it in the United States, because they are not able to imagine a world in which people voluntarily do what's good and what's right. They don't know this power that could change a person so that it would actually do good. And my friend Shaoli would sit and shake his head, people's minds are so different. He would watch me as a Christian live my life and love them and live out the gospel to them in the workplace there. And he knew what the Chinese mind was, and he became very familiar with what my mind was. And he would just shake his head. People's minds are so different. And we would have all these conflicts and trouble, and he couldn't see how they could be resolved because people's minds were so different. But I would propose to you that the corruption of China has jumped the sea. It has seriously jumped the sea. It's over here now. It's that lawless, corrupt culture is creeping over our land. And it's bringing with it lots of money. They have lots of money. Incredible amounts of money. and they can come into our country. And all they need to do is find a few men who have no moral foundation in their life, just like the people of China. And they bribe them. They give them money. They offer them incredible opportunities. And so, if America were still a country where everyone had a moral foundation and you couldn't bribe anyone, they would have no foothold here. They would come and try to get their way through bribery and through corruption. And they're like, no, I'm not taking a bribe. I'm not doing that. That's wrong. See, we would have a moral foundation. But because we've lost that moral foundation, this has opened the way for the Chinese to come in and through money and through other means bring their corruption and their lawlessness here. So, how is the communist country actually run, practically? The way you run a communist country is you make millions of laws that nobody can possibly obey, so that everyone at all times is guilty of breaking laws. Then you only selectively enforce them as you need them. So you have the legitimate legal pretext under the quote rule of law, which you have, to arrest anybody at any time because you can always catch them for something. It would be like in America, what if we set the speed limit on the highway to 35? But everybody drove 65. And everybody knew it was against the law. And everybody did it. And the police didn't arrest anybody except when they had a problem with somebody and they needed to catch them. They would go say, arrest them and say, you broke the law. You're driving 65 and it's only 35. And it's like, well, everybody does it. Nobody ever gets arrested. See, there's a reason they got you. It has nothing to do with maybe you upset the police chief's son at school or something and he's paying you back. So there's always this other reason. And so as the churches in China became wealthy in the early 2000s and had a little bit of freedom and began to build buildings, they built multitudes of buildings all over China. And I'm sure you've heard in the news from Voice of Martyrs or other organizations that the Chinese government has come in and torn down a bunch of their church buildings. Well, the Christians there built those buildings in violation of this law or that regulation or this regulation or this building permit because it's almost impossible to do anything there without violating some law. And they want it that way so that now they can come back and they can tell that church, well, you didn't pay this tax or you violated this permit, so we're tearing down your building. It's a selective enforcement of the law. It's almost never enforced except when you need it. So what you have to have in that type of culture where everybody's corrupt and there's no rule of law, you have to have the establishment of universal guilt. Everyone is guilty at all times, and then you can take out the people that you need. So I'm saying these things in a general way. I'm saying them in a stereotypical way. I understand that there are good people in China that don't do that, and I understand there are immoral people in America that were here long before the Chinese came. But I'm saying, in general, we had a Judeo-Christian value system and moral foundation, and they didn't. So there was a man named Hugo Grotius, and you've probably heard this quote before. A man cannot govern a nation if he cannot govern a city. He cannot govern a city if he cannot govern a family. He cannot govern a family unless he can govern himself. And he cannot govern himself unless his passions are subject to reason. So, for us as Christians, what is that reason? This book, this Bible, this is the most reasonable book that we have. And Christians subject themselves and their passions to this book. This is why I believe, in disagreement with some people who say you can't call one culture superior over another culture. Well, I would call a culture in Virginia where I don't have to lock anything and I can go to a self-serve place a superior culture to a place where everybody's stealing everything and I have to lock everything up. I would call that a superior culture. And there's a reason. And Alexis de Tocqueville found it. And Pastor Zhao Xiao found it. And the reason I'm bringing up this warning is that the influence of China is increasingly growing in our culture. It's increasingly growing in social media and how that is used in the United States, what can be said It's in politics, it's in commerce. And the influence that will be brought will be corrupt and base and immoral and lawless and negative. It will not be a Judeo-Christian culture. And so, as we consider the past year and what's happening with the medical situation with this virus and the freedoms that are being that people are being deprived of, the curtailing of people's freedom to say things on social media, the canceling of accounts, I think it's time to wake up and realize that just as Mao Zedong took over China and equalized everybody and made them wear the same thing, there is, at some point, a plan has to be put in place for the biblical prophecies of a one-world government to be fulfilled, that everybody has to be made equal. And so what is the people of the world being told to do now? They're being told to wear a mask. And this wearing of something is equalizing everybody. No matter if you're great, small, rich, poor, whatever, everybody's being equalized. And this is what Mao did to China. He made them all wear navy blue or drab olive clothes. All their traditional clothes with beads and little indicators of elevation and positions in society and class and all of that stuff. This tribe had these clothes and that tribe had those clothes. He eliminated it all. Everybody was equal. And this mask is also being used in America to establish universal guilt. It's being used around the world. Everyone is guilty of being a deadly threat to their neighbor. And you can't know if you're not a threat unless you get some kind of a test. But even if you get the test, and even if you get the vaccination, you still have to wear the mask. And this week, the CDC came out in cooperation with the TSA, Transportation Authority, that they're now going to be enforcing this at all places of transportation in America. You have to wear a mask. They have specified exactly what kind of mask, in great detail, how you have to wear it, and specific cases when you are allowed to take it off. And this is going to be enforced with fines and penalties at all places of transportation, bus, subway, train, boat, airplane, wherever. You have to wear it entering the building, as long as you're in the facility, when you're on the transportation, when you're getting off, when you're departing the facility, everybody is being required to wear the mask. And so, what do I see happening here? I see the same footprint, the same fingerprint of what is done in a socialist culture like China, where everybody is being made guilty. And so now, the government is capable of using selective enforcement of the law to catch the people that they want. And so far, they haven't done it. I understand that. They haven't started arresting Christians yet. But this would create the option for them to selectively pull out Christians and say, hey, you're sick, you have to go to a quarantine facility or whatever. And so it's a tool for creating a worldwide totalitarian society. The entry-level tool for doing that has to be something simple, something that everybody would accept and then grow from there. So we're starting with this mask. Why wouldn't you wear a mask? What's the big deal? Just do it. So when the government moves to protect society by removing the diseased, people from society will accept that. And when the government comes to arrest Christians under the pretext of a health issue and put them away, everyone will cheer them on because people don't want the sick people in their society. So the Bible predicted the one world government. It did not explain how it would be enacted. And I'm not saying this is the end of everything, but this is the pattern of behavior of governments, and this is the pattern that's used in China, and it's the pattern that I see coming into our country. Governments can't go out and just overtly start destroying Christians. It would be way too obvious. That's what a government built on corruption wants and will need, because any truth and honesty is a threat to governance built on pretenses and falsehoods. So when you have an entire society built on corruption and falsehood, any kind of truth is a deadly threat to that ruler, so it has to be silenced. So this is not anything new or unusual. But they have to have a plausible excuse for isolating and eliminating Christians. And so I see this as probably the direction things are going. Another thing is, if you want to control society, you have to track and trace every person, or you have to have elimination of the freedom to travel. And so for a long time, China eliminated the freedom to travel. Then they brought in the live tracking and tracing of every person with facial recognition, and now they have these apps on their phones to do contact tracing for the COVID. And so once the government got the computerized artificial intelligence tracking system set up, they let people travel more freely. And what you're seeing is China's model is being used for the model for the rest of the world. And this is what governments of the world are all talking about putting in place. It's all these tracking and tracing and systems based on COVID. So we've talked about how the governments of the world will break and smash in pieces all things. And these are some of the details of how we can expect that smashing to take place. So, in the news in this week, we hear many on the political left clamoring for the silencing of those who disagree with them and claiming that they're worthy of death. And so now they're pursuing the means to accomplish that. They don't want to allow any dissent. So what should we do? Okay, we're in, obviously in a situation of Psalm 11 where the foundations have been destroyed. The foundations in many people's hearts and lives in America at many levels of society has already been destroyed. And so what are we going to do? How are we going to have a foundation of righteousness? Where did we go wrong, and how do we get back to having a foundation? Well, it's what Mr. Warren Burns said, in the Lord put I my trust. We come back to faith. We come back to obedience to Christ. And so I'm going to use an example here by pulling out one law of God, the commandment not to steal. Thou shalt not steal. And we're going to talk about this a little bit at length, and I'm going to give you some examples and some stories from my life, and we're going to see how this looks in a society that has a righteous foundation where people don't steal, in a society where people don't have that foundation. Because a nation is corrupted one heart at a time, and it can only be healed one heart at a time. And so our calling is to be about our Father's business, but often we're distracted with many other things. Christians in America for a long time, many decades, have been distracted by many other things and movements other than sharing the gospel with people and helping people to be born again so that they can have a righteous moral foundation in their life. We have a lot of emphasis on self-improvement. And I understand that God sanctifies us and He does cause us to grow. But we can be so consumed with fixing ourselves as a Christian that we're not busy evangelizing and discipling others. And God knows that it's as we evangelize and as we disciple others that the most sanctification and improvement grows in our life. So it's not by neglecting evangelism and discipleship that we will grow as a Christian. It's by diving in and participating. Sometimes family is made the end-all and be-all of a Christian's life. They're trying to fix their family and all their problems. Sometimes the pro-life movement becomes the big thing that everybody invests in. Or creation science, the battle between creation and evolution. Or the persecuted church, or archaeology, or humanitarian aid. We have all these good causes that keep us from making sure that people in our society learn to be good by coming to Christ and being changed.
Well, with that, we've come to the end of today's broadcast, but you can listen to this broadcast as well as part one of this message at wcfs.edu. Just go to the resources tab and find Family by Design. You can also find our previous broadcasts throughout the years. We hope you'll check us out. And if you'd like to let us know any thoughts or feedback about today's message, you can give us a phone call at 301-241-2072, or you can email us at radio@wcfs.edu. That's RADIO at wcfs.edu. On behalf of everybody here at Family by Design and Wellspring Christian Family Schools, I'm Joel Fisher, hoping you'll join us next week as we continue to treasure God's design for your family.
Thanks for spending your time with us today here at Family by Design. Join us every Sunday when we will continue this wonderful journey, helping you to treasure God's design for your family.
'Cause the greatest gift a father can give is a life lived for Jesus. And the greatest gift a mother can give is the knowledge of the Lord. Pass him on to your children.
Your children.
He's the gift that keeps on giving. The greatest gift is a life lived for Jesus.